Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 16, and let's stand together as we read the Word of God. The Apostle Paul writes and he says, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, for the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Thank you. You may be seated. In this text, Paul is again describing Abraham and the remarkable promise that God gave to him regarding having a son in his old age. But we have seen in our study of Romans chapter 4 that Paul is very clear that God has a very special relationship with Abraham and all of Abraham's descendants. Now, Jews to this day seek diligently to trace their lineage to Abraham, wanting to be able to claim him as their father. But I remind you that Paul goes to great pains to show that the true descendants of Abraham are not those descendants of the flesh, but those who are descendants by faith. In other words, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are the true seed of Abraham. Paul shows us this in several passages of Scripture throughout the New Testament. In verse 11, he says, "For Abraham is the father of all them that believe." This phrase is repeated in verse 16. At the end of that verse in our text, where Paul says Abraham is the father of us all. So in a true sense, you are the descendant of Abraham. He is your spiritual father. Paul reiterates this in his letter to the Galatian Christians, where he says, "If you belong to Jesus Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." So, if you know Jesus Christ, you are the child of Abraham and in a special relationship with God. Now, that relationship is built upon imputed righteousness. God is your friend because you are perfect in His sight. Now, I know that you're not perfect from our perspective. I'm not perfect by any means. But in my relationship with God, I am counted as perfect because I have been given a righteousness that is not my own, a goodness that is not mine. It is a righteousness or a goodness, a perfection that comes from God. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been imputed or credited to my account. My sin has been imputed or credited to the account of Jesus Christ, and He paid for it on the cross of Calvary. His righteousness has been given to me by my faith in Him. Therefore, I am in right relationship with God due to imputed righteousness. We've been studying this in weeks past. Now, because of that relationship that I now have with God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is now my own, I have been given a very special promise. It is the promise of an inheritance. In fact, I was shocked to look up the word inheritance in Scripture, and I discovered that it is used over 300 times in the Bible, the word inheritance or its derivatives. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes of this inheritance in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, where he says, "In Christ, We have obtained an inheritance. Now, young people, you probably don't really have an understanding or a good understanding of what an inheritance is because you've not been old enough to receive one. But your parents probably know what it is. I know your grandparents know what it is. When a loved one dies, they leave a will, and in that will, they leave certain things to their descendants. It is called an inheritance. All of us laugh at those little bumper stickers we see at the end of a big Cadillac or a big mobile home that says we're spending our kids' inheritance. But the fact of the matter is that your parents will at some point leave something to you. It is called an inheritance. Now, because you are in relationship with Jesus Christ, you've been given the very special promise of an inheritance from God. Now the question is, what is that inheritance? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4 calls this inheritance the world. In verse 13 of Romans 4, he says, "You, as a descendant of Abraham, a believer in Jesus Christ, are an heir of the world." Now, last time we gathered, I told you that I'm not quite sure what that means. It could mean that heaven is really you enjoying the presence of Jesus Christ and all of your loved ones who have died in Christ in this world. You inherit this earth, and that's heaven. That's a possibility. I'm not sure. I do know Jesus said, "The meek shall inherit the earth." We said that that could be a spiritual kingdom. That when Paul speaks of inheriting the world, he could be speaking of the kingdom of Christ. And in fact, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5, he does call your inheritance the kingdom of Christ. And so it could be that it's a spiritual thing. Paul refers to the inheritance that you have at least 12 times in the New Testament. Now, why is this so important to him to describe your inheritance? Well, I think it's because when Paul describes his own conversion experience, he says that Jesus told him that he is to go and to open eyes to the inheritance that is in Christ. Paul had been commissioned to tell you as a believer that you have an inheritance. He'd been told by Christ to open your eyes to the inheritance that you've been given. He calls it the world, the kingdom of Christ. The writer of Hebrews says that it is an eternal inheritance. That means that it'll never end. That death only brings you into a full understanding of your inheritance, and that inheritance will continue for ages to come. It is an eternal inheritance. Peter calls it an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. And so, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have the imputed righteousness of our Lord, and if you're in special relationship with God, the true descendant of Abraham, the father of all them that believe, you have been given by God an inheritance. It is reserved for you. It will never be corrupted. It is eternal. Now, I've got a sneaking suspicion this is what heaven is all about. You learning what you've been given by God. You receiving your inheritance. It's heaven. Now, the question is, can we mess it up? Young people, can we screw it up? I mean, is there a possibility that this inheritance that has been reserved for you might be lost because of something you do? My wife has a relative that will go unnamed, but she constantly says to her grandchildren, "I'm going to write you out of my will." Now, she's not joking. She's serious. Now, what she is wanting is more attention paid to her. She's wanting people to make trips to see her. She's wanting the grandkids to spend time with her. And the threat is, if they don't come up for the summer, she's going to write them out of her will. Now, do you realize that there are many Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, who believe the same thing about God? That if you don't do certain things, if you don't live up to His expectations, if you don't fully commit yourself, if you're not really what He intends for you to be, if you stumble and fall and struggle along the way, then you very well might lose the inheritance that He has reserved for you. Can you lose it? Well, I want to show you from our text that as a believer in Jesus Christ, the inheritance that you are going to be given is guaranteed by grace. This is what our text is teaching us, these three verses. Let's read them again. Therefore, it is of faith. Now the question is, what is it? What is guaranteed? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, literally in accordance with grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. What is it? It's the promise of an inheritance. It could also be imputed righteousness, because that's the basis upon which you receive the inheritance. It is of faith that it might be by grace, in accordance with grace, to the end the promise of the inheritance might be sure to all the seed. Now, do you realize what Paul is saying? He is saying, what you receive from God, whatever it is you receive from God, all of your blessings, all of the goodness, everything you get from God is of grace. And it must be by grace, because grace is the only thing that will guarantee the promise. You see, if God said to you, you will get something because you deserve it or you earn it, then the fact of the matter is, you may not do enough to deserve it, and you may not be good enough to earn it. Therefore, the promise of the inheritance, the promise of being an heir of the world, the promise of all spiritual blessings, is based upon grace, and grace guarantees the promise. Your works do not guarantee the promise. Not at all. Do you know why your works do not guarantee the promise? Again, Romans chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. Listen to this verse. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor. Literally, the Greek phrase here is the same Greek phrase that is used in verse 16. His wage is not credited in accordance with grace, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Again, if what you get from God is dependent upon your work or your activity or your commitment or your fidelity, then what you do to earn what you get from God is not in accordance with grace. No. It would be in accordance with your works. And you deserve what you get. And the fact of the matter is, your work may not be good enough, so it couldn't be guaranteed. Grace overcomes our demerit and our insufficiency and guarantees to us what we could not earn. Therefore, the promise is by grace. Listen to what John Piper says about Romans 4, verse 11. In all this weighty writing of Paul, Paul has a very practical aim in view. Your certainty that the promise of being an heir of the world will come true for you, an imperfect, stumbling, believing, justified, sinning saint. Now, folks, listen. This is so totally contrary to the way the world believes. The only guarantee that there will be sinners in heaven is the guarantee that a gracious God has chosen to justify sinners by His work in Jesus Christ. Sinners are not in heaven because they try to stop sinning. Sinners are in heaven because God is gracious to sinners through Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are here and you're saying, well, Pastor, I believe that, but surely then faith is the guarantee of my promise. What I need is faith. No. Not only are your works not the guarantee of the promise that you'll receive an inheritance, neither is your faith in Jesus Christ the guarantee of the promise. Grace is the guarantee. You say, but wait a minute. He says in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Where does faith come into play? Oh, that's a good question. Faith in Jesus Christ is essential, yes. But it is not the guarantee of the promise that you will have an inheritance. Now think with me for a moment. If faith were the guarantee of an eternal, incorruptible inheritance, then children, infants who die in infancy would never receive the promise of an inheritance because they have no faith. The old timers used to use the term imbeciles. In our political correct society, we do not use that term, but people with brain deficiencies who cannot come to an understanding of the gospel do not exercise faith. Are you then saying that they don't have the eternal inheritance? Oh, no. The eternal inheritance, heaven, if you will, all of the blessings of God in the spiritual realm, His favor, a special relationship, whatever blessing, whatever promise you want to talk about, they're all guaranteed by grace. And infants who die in infancy are in heaven because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ who died for those infants on the cross. You say, well, where does faith come into play? Well, faith is a gift of God's grace. And just the way that seeing is the gift of light, and just the way that hearing is the gift of sound, and the way tasting is the gift of food on the tongue, faith is the gift of grace. Faith doesn't guarantee the promise. God's grace guarantees the promise. Grace guarantees the promise. Faith enjoys the promise. So watch. If you are in a special relationship with God, and if you have been given a promise of an eternal inheritance as a believer in Jesus Christ, the true descendant of Abraham, your promise of meeting God and Him embracing you, of meeting God and Him giving you an inheritance, is guaranteed. Guaranteed by His grace. Because everything in your life as a child of God must be in accordance with grace, lest anybody should ever boast about where they are with God. But let me show you something else. Not only is grace the guarantee of the promise, God is the guarantor of the promise. This is what Paul is referring to in verses 17 and 18. How do you know that God won't back up on His promise of grace? In other words, how do you know that God won't just stop and say, now wait a minute, I have promised to be gracious to sinners, to justify the ungodly, and to give an inheritance to believers in Jesus Christ. Oh, but now wait a minute. Look at old Joe over there. Oh, he's really ungodly. Oh, he's a big sinner. I think I'm going to back off. I'm going to back off on my promise. How do we know that God won't back off? Well, because he's the guarantor. In other words, when God makes a promise, there is no wavering with him, no shadow of turning or change. He is faithful to his word, and he has made the promise to give an inheritance to ungodly sinners who by faith come to Jesus Christ and trust his righteousness to be that very thing that makes them right with God. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying to yourself, oh, Pastor, now wait a minute now. I look at my own life and at the way that I stumble and at the way that I have trouble believing, and I look at my imperfections and so on, and Pastor, I just can't see how God would ever guarantee an inheritance for me and you and me and anybody else who sees our shortcomings, but understands that God is the one who is guaranteed a promise by his grace to justify the ungodly and give them an inheritance. That'll just warm our hearts. Because everything then is dependent upon him. Notice now, Paul goes on and says, it is the same God who can call that which is not as though it were. In other words, we're talking about God who can say of an ungodly person, he's godly. God who can call a sinner a saint. How can God do this? Because it is his work. It is God in you who is working. It is the work of God. Oh, this is so remarkable when you get a grasp of it. You say, Pastor, if I understand you right, what you're saying then is this. Everything I receive from God, heaven, the world, his blessings, everything I get from God is in accordance with grace. And I get it because of him, God, who has chosen to be gracious to sinners. And everything I get is due to him and has nothing to do with me. That's exactly what I'm saying. And it is so opposite of the way the world thinks. The world says it can't be done like that. The world said to Abraham, you can't have a son. You're 100 years old. You just can't have a boy. There is no way. And God says, Abraham, it's going to happen because I have guaranteed the promise. People look at you and say, there's no way that person will ever make it to heaven. There's no way that person will ever be right with God. Do you see how that person is? It just can't happen. Oh, no, I can't. Because God has guaranteed the promise. You say, if I believed that, I would live my life with no thought or concern for God. Oh, no, you wouldn't. No. Listen to this song again. What binds our hearts to God? His grace. A fetter is that rope that ties us and steers us to God. I propose to you that what is missing in most Christian homes and what is missing in most Christian churches is not the teaching of holiness and obedience and commitment. No, that's there. What is missing is an understanding of God's grace to the ungodly. That is the only thing that binds a heart to God. You see, when a man begins to understand who he is in Christ, when a woman begins to understand what she has in Christ, when we begin to see the glorious doctrine of grace, and we see that all of the promises are guaranteed by grace, with God as the guarantor, we are free. But as we live, as a husband and as a father, as a daughter or a son, we're overcome with this freedom and with this heart of gratitude. And if anybody suggests that we do something contrary to the nature of our gracious, loving God, who has guaranteed us an inheritance, we just politely will say no and walk with Him, because we've caught a glimpse of His grace. But if you grow up in a shame-based religion and a shame-based home where everything is dependent upon your work and your activity, and you really never measure up properly, you always fall short of the blessing, you will transfer this to your relationship with God. And the reason you come to church and the reason you obey and the reason you do things is because you think God is going to hold back if you don't. And then when you mess up, you're in a pickle, because you got to make it up somehow, some way. And so what happens is you stay away until you feel like you've made it up. Then you come back feeling good about yourself, feeling like you're walking with God, feeling like everything's fine. Then you mess up again and you stay away till you make it up. And it's this vicious cycle over and over and over again, where the focus is upon your works and your obedience and your commitment. But when you get an understanding of His grace, sin will still matter, but it will matter for different reasons, because all of the promises of God are sure. The omniscient, almighty, all-powerful Creator of this universe, in light of the sin of man, has given His Son, Jesus Christ, and history is nothing but His story of redeeming ungodly, sinful human beings by His grace for His glory and our good. And when I stand before Him on that day, my only response can be, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your gift of love.